we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. And we're excited about everything that God is doing. My wife and I are excited. We're going to be attending a conference over in Lakeland later this week, and excited about all that God is doing, and got new adventures that we are partaking in and allowing God to stretch us. And I know that whenever that takes place, that God is going to use that new ground gained for His glory and for His purpose. So thank you for tuning in today. I want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. The Anderson family has been doing concrete work here in Brevard County for several decades now, and they have done marvelous work around our church, and I know that they will do a great job for you. If you need any concrete work or block work done, give them a call, 536-5804. So you never know when something like that is going to need to be done, and I encourage you to give them a call. They will be a blessing to you by doing a quality job. So I want to remind you about tomorrow night. Wednesday night is our new schedule. It's been going on for, this will be the second week. Our kids meet at 6 p.m. We start serving a kid-friendly meal. At 6:30, they break into a praise and worship over in our sanctuary, end that about 6:45 and go to their various classes. Right now we have three girls' classes, one boys' class, but that's getting ready to become two boys' classes very, very shortly here, and an older group and a younger group. And then at 6:40 or at 7 o'clock, our adults will come into the sanctuary, and that's when we're going to be doing our vintage service. Right now we are going through Psalm 91. Our service is kind of broken into three segments. There's a time of praise and worship and testimonies and prayer requests, and then we get into the Word. So if you want to know what we're studying on Wednesday night, that is what we are doing. It's an interactive study, and so if you come, there may be questions and asking you for insights and things like that. It's not a lecture. It's not just a monotonous, just me talking. I guide the discussion, but we look for people to get involved. So if that is something that can be a blessing to you, come check us out Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Also want to remind you, this coming weekend is when we will be having our joint service. The entire church will be combined, our kids service and adult service, and our youth and children's pastors are going to be leading that service. And so we're excited. We're going to be blessing a bunch of kids with pairs of shoes for the school year. I know we're about a month in, but with our youth and children's ministers being on their missions trip into Guatemala, they wanted to be a part of that. And so we're looking forward to all that they have for us this coming weekend, and what a blessing it's going to be. So if you would like to bless a child with a pair of school shoes, it costs about $15 to $20, the shoes that we buy, and if you would like to be a part of that, you can make a donation. You can go to merrittassembly.com, or you can mail it to 165 North Grove Street. And so that's what is coming up. A lot of our kids come from very needy situations, single parent households, things like that. And so it really is an outreach, and does meet a legitimate need. This is not just a luxury thing, just not something to do for kicks and giggles. And instead it is meeting a need that kids have in their life. So let's get into the Word today. Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to spend today in Isaiah 38, tomorrow in Isaiah chapter 39. And if I was to put a title on today's broadcast, I would talk about it when things go from bad to worse. And because that's kind of what happened here. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 38. I'm going to read the first six verses. It says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city.'" The reason I say that this is going from bad to worse is because Assyria was pretty persistent in attacking Judah and the city of Jerusalem. And in the midst of all of their attacks, the king, the head of the nation, the one who ruled and reigned from the heart of Jerusalem, becomes ill. He was sick and he was at the point of death. And so now not only is he engaging the enemy on a military front, he is having the enemy engage him on a sickness front as well. So there's an external enemy and there is an internal enemy. I don't know if you've ever had to face the enemy on multiple fronts before, but it is very challenging. Most of us do not multitask as well as we think we do. We tend to think that we can do multiple things at times and do it just as good. I don't necessarily believe that that is the case. We like to be focused. We like to focus on one thing at one point in time. That's one of the things that I'm striving to do, is to focus on various aspects, you know. So we're focusing on our spiritual well-being, on our professional well-being, our work related. We're trying to get better with our family relations and trying to deal with health and finances. So there are lots of different fronts that the enemy can use to bring an attack upon us. And this one here, this second attack, brought Hezekiah to the very brink of death. And, you know, I believe that if we stopped to really consider the things that we should thank God for, we would realize that we need to thank God, because just about all of us have been at the point of death at some point in time or another. My son had an incident I won't go into detail about, but when I did the math of the information that he was telling me, he was literally fractions of a second, about 3/10 of a second away from crossing eternity's threshold. That's pretty close. That's pretty close. And I don't want to be that close. I like for things to function nice and smoothly, and I like to be healthy. I have a friend he's a better friend of my parents, but he's a friend of mine as well. And when he got sick one time, and he said, I am so sick, I don't ever remember a day being well. And you know, that's one of the things that can happen, is when our body comes under attack, it affects more than just our physical well-being. It affects our energy level. It affects our mental focus. It affects a lot of things. It drains. Whenever my body is under attack, it tends to just drain the strength right out of me. And that's where Hezekiah was. So he's dealing with the king of Assyria and all of the focus that takes. And then he has a physical attack, and that can be even more taxing, because you've got to focus on your health. You've really got to be healthy. I believe as Christians, we need to work seriously on getting the temple of the Holy Spirit in better shape. We need to be good stewards of our body. And when you're at the point of death, you want people to come along and say, hey, you're going to get better. You're going to get through this. But instead, Isaiah the prophet shows up and says, this is the word of the Lord. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. So he's telling him it's only a matter of time. You need to put your house in order. Set your house in order. That's a scripture, or that's a saying that you only find a couple of times in the scripture. One is here when Hezekiah is at the point of death and he says, set your house in order. Or the other time is when Ahithophel had risen up against David with Absalom, given Absalom his advice on how to engage David in battle. And Ahithophel's advice was rejected. And he knew at that point in time that Absalom was not going to succeed. He had sided with the wrong wrong conspirator, and that his days were numbered. And I could go into that. And it said that when Ahithophel's advice was rejected, he went home and he put his house in order, and then he went out and hanged himself. So both of the times that we hear about people putting their house in order were times when they were at the very brink of death. And I would like to challenge you. I think that we would be better served if we would put our house in order as soon as possible instead of as late as possible. I believe that if we would put our finances in order younger, I know I would have been a whole lot better off if my finances were in order when I was in my 20s than if I waited until as long as I did. Now, there's a lot of things that went on with those finances. I worked a lot of jobs that didn't pay very well, and had a family. But you know what? I believe that my kids are all going to be in better financial shape than I am. And so I want to ask you today to analyze your own situation. Take a look at your finances or your health or the organization around your home, your spiritual life, your marriage relationships. And I want to ask you to do an inventory, to take a survey and see, is there anything that is out of order? Is there anything that needs to take a higher priority? Is there something that needs to take a lower priority? Now, I will tell you this, that a lot of times people put their spiritual priorities down as a lower level, and they put their finances and things like that at a higher level. God wants us to have our spiritual house in order. He wants that to be our highest priority, because my physical body is only going to live a few decades, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years, if you're like my grandmother was. But your spirit's going to live forever. So you need to have your spiritual house in order. With the uncertainty in our country right now, as far as finances and everything, jobs and how quickly jobs can come and quickly jobs can go, you need to have your financial house in order. I've got a daughter, and one of the things that she loves to do is she loves to take things that are out of order and put them in order. And so the way to determine the proper order and sequence of things is, what does God have to say in his word? How does God want you to prioritize your relationships? He wants you to prioritize your relationship with him first and others second. So you and I, we need to turn to God's word and say, okay, God, anything that is out of order, you are not the God of chaos or confusion. You are the God of order. And so if there is anything that is out of order in my life, would you help me to put that back in order? So Hezekiah responds and he begins to pray. Now, he's done that with the attack of the king of Assyria. He said, I'm rather than trying to buy him off, rather than trying to deal with a terrorist on in a financial manner or a military manner, I'm going to pray. And God brought great deliverance. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 37. And so he says, I'm going to employ the same strategy now when my physical body is under attack. I'm going to go to the Lord and I'm going to pray. And this is what he says. Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. How would we be able to respond? Would we be able to say, God, would you remember how I've walked before you? Remember how I've walked in faith. Remember how I've walked in integrity and truth. That's what it says here. I have walked before you in truth. Israel, at one point in time, had mindset that said, I'm going to go up when it's dark, up on the hills, and I'm going to hide myself under the trees, and I'm going to worship my idols, and God won't be able to see me. Well, I want you to know that God has perfect awareness of what goes on in the day and perfect awareness of what goes on in the night. He had night goggle or night vision technology long before man had created it. And he knows what's going on. He knows what we do, and he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. So we would be foolish to try and lie to God. We need to walk before him upright. We need to walk before him in truth, be real with God, and allow God to be real with you. I had a pastor that I worked for, and he became a chaplain for the hospital. And he said, you know, when I go into the hospital to visit people's rooms, now this was a number of decades ago, he said, when I go in and I talk to these people, he says, they say to me, Pastor, I don't want you blowing smoke my way. I want to know what I need to do to get my life in order, because I don't have time to waste playing games. So I don't want you to just tell me what I want to hear. I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to be forthright with me. What do I need to do to be saved? And he said that he was able to lead more people to Christ in his role as a chaplain than he had ever been able to do in dealing with people as a pastor. You see, when you're dealing with people as a pastor, a lot of times you have to share with them painful truths, but those painful truths are not always well received. And so sometimes people get upset. Sometimes people move on down the road. And so there, it doesn't prompt the change that is necessary. If I tell you that there is something that needs to be changed, then, you know, it's in your best interest that it needs to be changed, because I'm not going to do it just from my personal standpoint. I'm going to do it from the basis of the Word of God. There's a commercial that I've seen on television right now where a doctor goes in and he tells this patient of a medical condition that he needs to address. And the man that is sitting there says, but doc, you got to understand, I don't like to exercise, and I really like food, and the doctor, he's like, yeah, I know, I love that stuff too. And the patient says, so we're good here, I don't need to change, right? And he said, oh no, if your condition, you have it. If you don't make the change, it's still going to be a problem. Just because it's inconvenient, just because it's painful, doesn't mean that we don't have an excuse to put those things in the proper perspective. So make the spiritual changes, put your house in order as early as possible, and reap the benefits of that as much as possible. So Hezekiah goes in and he prays, and if you drop down to verse number 9, it says that this is what Hezekiah prayed. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you made an end of me like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And what he said is, God, this is a battle that I am powerless to do on my own. I don't have the capabilities of bringing about victory. Lord, I have prayed. I have cried out to you. I have exhausted myself looking to you. I am oppressed. And he says this, would you undertake for me? Now, you have to understand, this is not simply a selfish request. This is a prayer for the nation that he is serving, because the king was like the figurehead of the nation. When the king was under attack, the whole nation was under attack. There was all sorts of societal change or upheaval that took place whenever there was a transition in a king. You just have to read through Kings and Chronicles to realize the bloodbath that would often ensue whenever there was a change in who sat on the throne. And so Hezekiah cries out and he says, would you undertake on my behalf? Now I want to take you back to verse number 4. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the God of your father, I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. And so when Hezekiah cried out for God to undertake on his behalf, before Isaiah ever got very far away, God had already said, you know what? I'm going to answer his prayer. Now, I want you to know every person is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You and I, we need to live our lives and walk with God in truth, that we number our days correctly, that we act as if this is a gift that we are never going to get a chance to replace. So realize that there is an appointment day that is coming, but God said, you know what, Hezekiah, I'm going to adjust your appointment. I have an appointment tomorrow. I get an email about those appointments, and it says, if you need to reschedule this appointment, you need to make proper contact. Well, the only one that has the authority to change my appointment of crossing from life on this earth into eternal life, life in eternity, life in eternity and in heaven, the only one who can make that appointment for me is God. And so God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I'm going to spare your life. He said, Isaiah goes back and in verse number 21, it tells him to apply a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. And so God says, I'm going to give you what you've asked for. I'm going to undertake on your behalf. This is what Hezekiah said as a result of that. What shall I say? He has spoken to me. He himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. He's already praying and saying, God, you are going to restore me. You are going to make me live. And in verse number 17, indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. I love that. He delivers. We talk about God's deliverance all of the time. But listen, it says that he lovingly delivered. He delivers with tenderness and compassion. He doesn't just show up at the door and toss your package down and bam, you're gone, or pull up to the mailbox and throw the mail in and slam the door and hit the gas pedal because, you know, you got to hurry up and get home. No, he delivers out of love. And so he says here, for you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. You have cast all my sins behind your back. Don't let healing be a substitute for dealing with the bigger problem of sin. God wants to deal with the sin problem. Yes, he wants to deal with our physical situations as well, but he wants to deal with that sin problem as well. And so allow him to do that. For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you. Right now, Hezekiah is going to get into a discussion of the things that he is going to do with this extended period of time that he has been granted. He is going to use those days to praise God. If you've been healed, don't fall back into complacency. If God has worked a miracle in your life, praise him for it. Thank him for it. If God has broken new ground, extended your boundaries, given you increase, praise him for it. He is enthroned on the praises of his people. He says, as I do this day, The father shall make known your truth to the children. And so he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this extra time that I have been given, and I am going to make a greater focus, a greater effort at communicating with the next generation all of your goodness and all of your mercy, all of the things that you have shown to me. Now, I want you to know that's his promise. When we talk about tomorrow, about what is actually what he actually does, is a different thing. The Lord was ready to save me. I like that. The Lord was ready. A lot of times we approach prayer as if we have got to try and convince God to act on our behalf. That's really not what takes place. God is looking. He's ready to save. He's ready to heal. He's ready to deliver. And so as he begins to praise him, Isaiah comes back and he tells him, if you will do this thing, you are going to find healing. And it's very superficial. It's very simple. I want you to know, I don't believe there was any magical power in the poultice of figs. It was simply the act of obedience to the instruction of God, the same way that Naaman was healed of his leprosy, of going down to the river Jordan and dunking seven times. And he thought it was a little too simplistic, and it wasn't as beautiful a river as the river that he came from. Listen, whatever God tells you to do, whether it's simple or whether it's great, obey that. And Hezekiah said, so what is going to be the sign that I've been healed and I can go to the house of the Lord? I want you to understand that he said, when my healing comes, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord and I'm going to worship. Doesn't matter what's going on with the enemy outside of the gates. When my body gets healed, when I get touched, when I get delivered, I'm going to the house of the Lord. And verse number 7 says this, and this is the sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, if you read in an earlier chapter, the option was given to Hezekiah, but I will tell you what it says here in verse 8. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. He actually gave Hezekiah the choice. He said, okay, would you rather have the sun go forward or would you rather have it go backward? And he said, it's an easy thing for it to go forward. That happens every day. Let's watch God do something that has never taken place before. Let's watch the sundial go backward. And I tell you, God, that is nothing. There is nothing that is too hard for God. There are laws of nature, but there are also supernatural laws, and the supernatural laws can at any point in time, according to God's plan, supersede those natural laws. Thank God that he has power over the entire universe, and he has power over sickness. Hezekiah was healed that day so that he could live to praise another day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.